Hey, thanks for joining us online. My name is Doug Halk. I'm the senior pastor at Live Oak Community Church. And right now we're living in a challenging time with many unknowns. And if you're anything like me, unknowns and what ifs can sometimes lead to anxiety. We were planning on starting a new series after Easter called What Now? What do you do when you don't know what to do? But we felt like it was appropriate to go ahead and start it now. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Right now, because we live in a challenging time, we live in this thing called social distancing and sheltering in place. And when you social distance, it can lead to isolation. The truth is, life itself can lead to isolation. This almost heightens it. But if there's anything in your life that leads you to be isolated, it can lead to some really dangerous places. It can lead to loneliness. It can lead to depression. It can lead to having needs in your life being unmet because you were created to be connected to others. So how do you connect to others in times like this? And as challenging as things are right now, the question we're asking, a lot of us are asking, is how can I get through this? How can I get through being out of work? How can I get through now becoming a homeschooler for my kids? Or as a teacher, how can I now be the teacher for my kids that they're at home? Teachers are having a real challenge right now. How can we get through this? How can I get through this with my health, with my finances, with my emotional life, like with my faith? How can I get through this? Well, I think that we're asking the wrong question. Whenever I ask that, I try to stop myself and say, I'm asking the wrong question. The question is not, how can I get through this? How can we get through this? We is the key. And with social distancing and isolating, we seems kind of hard to do. How can we get through this? We is the key. What if the key to life isn't just about looking out for number one? What if it's looking out for one another? What if the key of how we get through this is how we look out for one another? But the challenge is, because we're in a time of social distancing, how can we connect with each other during a time of social distancing? Now that this shelter in place, now that we're included to stay away from each other, how do we do that? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. Henry Cloud's a Christian psychiatrist I really admire a lot and listen to a lot. I've read a lot of his books and listened to some talks he's given. And he tells this story about a study that was done in a laboratory. And I've got a big heart for animals, and so it's kind of hard for me to wrap my head around animal testing. But anyway, he talks about this test that was done on monkeys where they would put a monkey in a cage. And they had him wired so they could measure brain levels and brain activity and different things happening in the nervous system and things like that. And the monkey in the cage would be subject, they would put bright flashing lights and noises and things, and they would measure the levels inside the monkey's brain. And it was off the chart with worry, anxiety, fear, things like that, you know. But then they changed the test, and they made one small adjustment that made all the levels get closer to normal in the midst of all this induced stress of lights and flashing noise and stuff like that. They made one small change. They put another monkey in the cage with him. He had a monkey buddy. And Henry Cloud says, you need a monkey buddy. You need somebody in the cage with you. And for those of you right now that are social distancing and self-sheltering at home alone, that's going to be really, really tough for you. But it's possible. The question is how. Even if you're social distancing and you're kind of with your normal people, you're probably not around people as much anyway. You still need a monkey buddy, someone that's not just in the room with you, but somebody who's in it with you, connected to you. Henry Cloud also went on to say his brother-in-law was a Navy SEAL, and Navy SEALs ask three questions whenever they hit the ground. These are three good questions for you. Where am I? Orient yourself. Where's the enemy? What's the threat right now? And here's the third question a Navy SEAL asked. Where's my buddy? How is your connection right now to others? And in his book, The Power of the Other, he talks about the four corners of connection. And I want you to think about this in two ways. Where are you normally in life, like before social distancing? And where are you in this season of sheltering at home? How are your connections? The first corner of connection is no connection. You're just not connected. You're disconnected from others. We all need connection, but sometimes life can force us into a corner of loneliness. And the person in this corner has no meaningful connections where they're authentically known and connected to others. The second corner is bad connection. You're connected to others, but it's not good. This person in this corner has somebody, but their connection leaves us feeling like we're bad or not good enough. It has a negative impact on us. The third corner is called pseudo-connection or false connection. To relieve the pain of isolation, we might seek out comfort in addiction, in the internet, and TV, and social media, spending money, food, success, an illicit relationship, illegal drugs, harmful substances. You're connected to something, but it's not good for you. You're connected to something or someone, but it's not good for you. And those three connections, they're not healthy. But the fourth one he talks about is what we all need. Real connection. That's corner four. Research shows that we all need connections, someone who is safe and can be life-giving to us. So on a normal day, let's say 2 months ago, how are your connections normally? Do you have deep, meaningful connection? And now that we're in this new reality, which is a season, and all seasons change, but in this season, and much like spring in West Texas and winter in West Texas, you don't know when springs are going to come and go, or seasons are going to come and go. We don't know when this season will change. So for this season of life, how are your connections right now? No connection, bad connection, a false connection, or are you really connected? Because your connection really, really does matter. So the question is, how do you connect with others during this season of social distancing? An example of how this literally played out in the life of somebody in the Bible is actually something that at Live Oak Community Church, we read this passage a lot. They're role models for us. It's our model for how we want to do life and ministry together. And in Mark chapter 2, we read the story about this guy who was laying by the side of the road who was a paralytic. He had a physical ailment that kept him from being able to walk, which greatly reduced his ability to move around, to work, to live life. And because of that, especially in that time, it had a couple of the ripple effects. It wasn't just a physical challenge, it was a financial challenge. It was an emotional challenge. He probably felt very isolated and lonely. A lot of times at that time when people had a disease, like being paralyzed, they would say that something's wrong with you, so we would stay away from you. They were social distancing in an unhealthy way. They also believed something was wrong with you spiritually. God must be mad at you because of that. And those weren't true, but that's what he had to live with. He did not have much going for him, but he had one very important thing going for him. He was connected to somebody. He had some friends who one day decided to pick up the corners of the mat he was laying on. And because he couldn't walk, they picked him up and they took him to where Jesus was teaching. And when they got to the house was crowded. They were not sheltering at home. They were all jammed into one place. And it was so crowded that they couldn't get inside. But instead of saying, oh, well, we tried, or good luck, or maybe we'll try some other time, they said, no, we want to connect him to Jesus. What can we do? They got creative and they were very intentional. So they go up on the roof, they dig a hole in the roof, and they lower him down, getting past the crowd. They lower him down right in front of Jesus so they connect to their friend. They could connect their friend to Jesus. And he does two things for him. He forgives his sins. He heals him spiritually. And then he heals him physically. And the guy gets up and goes home. And the reason Jesus said that he did it, it says this in Mark chapter 2, verse 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the paralytic, when he saw the faith of the friends, who saw the need of their friend, the paralytic, who were intentional and creative and did whatever it took to make sure he could be connected, even when connection was difficult to do. They did whatever it took, creatively and intentionally. They connected him to Jesus. When he saw their faith, it moved the heart of God to do something in the life of the friend. Their faith made a difference. But for it to make a difference, the paralytic had to be connected to the friends first. See, right now we're dealing with an opposite problem. Right now it's not the problem is the room's too crowded. People are spread out and socially isolated. We're not trying to figure out how do we get somebody into a crowded room. We're trying to figure out how do we find the people who are not connected right now and make sure they're connected. At Live Oak, we say to Christ and community. Because that's what the paralytic was. He was connected to community, and that community connected him to Christ. What if right now there are people out there with needs that don't have the friends who can pick up a corner of the mat and do something to serve them, connect them, to look out for them? When we read that story, we always ask, make two points. One, we need to be connected to people like that. You need to be connected to friends who you're on their radar. They care about you. They pray for you. They help you. They check on you. You need to be connected to people like that. So find those kinds of people. Who are your four corner friends that if you're on the mat and you're in need, that they're aware of it, they care about it, and they're intentional and creative about how they help you with that. We all need those kind of friends. The other thing is we need to be that kind of friend to each other. We need to be creative and intentional, aware of our friends who might be isolated, who need help getting them connected to Christ and community to help, support, and need. What do you need to do to grab your corner of the mat right now in this season to look out for somebody, to watch out for somebody, to reach out and be aware of them, to check on them, to see how they're doing, to say, do you need anything? Who do you need to be a mat carrier for right now? You know what I encourage you to do? I encourage you to pray and say, God, who is it that's on my radar, that's not on my radar that needs to be right now? Who do I know that might be isolated right now or lonely or needs to hear from somebody? Who's somebody that might have a need that they are, whatever reason, paralyzed in a way that they can't meet that need? They need help to do it. And when God puts someone on your radar, keep them there and look out for them and watch out for them. See, the key to life is we need to be connected to Jesus and to others. And maybe you're somebody that needs to be connected to somebody. You feel isolated. You feel alone. You don't have four corner friends right now. Start reaching out. Send out a text. Make a phone call. Just say, hey, I could really use to talk. It would help me to talk to somebody. I could use some help right now. Reach out. Who are your four corner friends? Because we need to be connected to Jesus and we need to be connected to others. And when we do that by faith, it moves the heart of God. When by faith we're intentional of serving others and helping them get their needs met and connect them to Jesus, it moves the heart of God. By faith, what is it you need to do to check on others? What that looks like in the Bible is very, very important, and they use this one Greek word. You know, right now you're at home, you got some time on your hands. I want to teach you a new language. Actually, I'm just going to teach you one Greek word, and it's this Greek word right here. And the way it's pronounced in English is this, alelone. Say that out loud. I'm teaching you a new language here. You're about to speak Greek. Alelone. Very good. I didn't hear you, but I pretend like I did. See what I did there? All right, so here, alelone. It's actually one Greek word that's two words in English. One, another. One, another. One Greek word, two English words. It means reciprocally, mutually, one another. There's a transactional exchange, or at least something is given. But the idea is that it would be mutual. Here's one of the many verses that use it, Galatians 5:13. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, to turn inward and just serve yourself, put yourself first. Don't use it to serve yourself, serve the flesh. Instead, rather, serve, there's our word, one another, humbly in love. That Greek word shows up 100 times in the New Testament. Some of those it just talks about they were with one another. It's kind of a narrative statement. But 57 of those are specific instructions to you and me of how we're supposed to live any day and every day. This is always true of us, that we are supposed to one another. We're supposed to practice one anothering. Our connection to one another is incredibly important. It's important to your life. It's important to your faith. It's important to your brain. Your brain needs connection with others. You need that monkey buddy. It's also important to your soul. The reason it's in the Bible so much that we're supposed to one another, is because we need it, and so do others. We were created for connection, and the thing is, we crave it, but we also fear it. We seek it out, but sometimes we actually run from it. Sometimes we self-isolate. Sometimes we hide in the shadows. Or sometimes we seek out connection that's not real connection, that's false connection, or it's unhealthy connection. Why do you think it is we run from connection when really we're created for it and actually we crave it? There's something in us. We want it, but we fear it. There are over 100 one another's in here, 57 of them. You won't be able to see this, but here's a whole list of them. It's a whole page with small font. How in the world are we supposed to keep track of all these one another's we're supposed to do? There's just one. There's 56 others. Well, the way we talk about it here at Live Oak is we think there's actually a tool that can help you. Because when you break down the one another's, they fall into really several different categories. One third of those one another's are about loving one another. And here's kind of the tool we use. It's a framework. And we talk about framing your moments, that each and every moment, you can kind of frame it and say, with who I'm with right now, with what I'm doing, I'm going to frame this moment and practice these things. And the first one is, one third of them are about loving one another. Love 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 one another. I mean, there are a ton of times on this list. Jesus said, a new command I give you, to love one another. That's what he told his disciples at the Last Supper, right before he went to the cross. The thing is, that's not a new command, but he's giving them a new way to think about it. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. It's John 13, 33 and 34. That Jesus set the standard of what it looks like to love others. We love others the way God loves us. And so one third of these one another's, you can just kind of realize, okay, I can condense that down of these 57. One third of them are just simply this, love one another. So each and every moment you could be saying, how can I love others in this moment? There's another group of them, about a third, have to do with the idea of unity, being together, promoting togetherness, promoting oneness, not promoting division or discord. One third of them have to do with making sure that we're connected, which has to do with things like forgive one another, about not grumbling against each other, not slandering each other, not speaking bad about each other. Man, this is a moment that if we could figure this out in life and on social media, how to frame our moments and say, is what I'm saying, doing, or posting right now, does this moment, as I look at this frame, and unity's one of them, does this build unity? Or will this build division? One third about love, one third about unity. So we're already, that list of 57, we're getting through a lot of them. 15% of those have to do with humility, of being humble with one another, serving one another. Humility is not about thinking about less about yourself, it's just thinking, it's not thinking less of yourself, it's about thinking of yourself less. It's recognizing the value of others and recognizing you are not more or less important than them. That the person in front of you matters, and they should be treated with humility, with kindness and respect. So you frame your moments and go, is what I'm saying and doing and posting right now on social media, is what I'm doing right now, is this something that's coming from a place of humility? Where I'm recognizing that they matter, that I'm not better than them? Or does it put me in a place of humility? What I'm thinking about right now, what I'm about to say, does this put me in a place of humility and being humble, of thinking of others more? The last category has to do with building others up. Teach one another, encourage one another, instruct one another. Is what I'm saying or doing right now speaking something into somebody's life that's going to build them up? It's going to encourage them. They're going to recognize their value. They're going to realize that they matter. That they're equipped for better in life, a better experience in life. And so as you look at this frame, there's these four things, these four words, 57 different instructions in the Bible about one another. Can be boiled down really to four words: love, unity, humility, and building. So here's the questions I'd like you to ask yourself is this. Here's some filtering questions as you kind of hold up the frame moment by moment in your life. Is what I'm about to say, do, or post on social media, is what I'm about to happen in my life right now, does that promote unity? Does it express love? Is what I'm saying or doing coming from a place or put me in a place, an attitude of humility? And is this adding something of value to others and building others up? What if, just each and every moment when we're around, we imagine there was like a filter, a frame, kind of that framed the person who's in front of us, that framed the person that's on the other side of the screen that's going to read what we post, share, or like? What if we had this little frame in every moment where all our thoughts, all our words, all our actions went through that filter? Does this express love to them? Does this bring about humility? Does this promote unity? Is this building others up? See, one anothering, these words matter because people matter to God. You've never locked eyes with someone who does not deeply matter to God. So frame your moments, because the person that you're looking at matters. They matter to God and they should matter to you. They are created in the image of God. Jesus felt like they were worth dying for. What we said last week is you're a child of God. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a child of God, but you're not an only child. There are others around you, and everybody matters to God. Everybody. So frame your moments. People matter to God. You've never locked eyes with someone who doesn't deeply matter to God, and that includes every time you look in the mirror. As a matter of fact, I encourage you, when you start doing self-talk, use the filter there too. Am I expressing love to myself, the fact that I'm loved by God, that I matter to Him? Am I putting my place in a place of humility that's healthy, where I think about others and how much they matter more than I just think about myself, but I also don't put myself down? Humility does not mean putting yourself down. It just means lifting others up. Is it building unity, or am I having silent conversations and arguments about somebody and I'm telling a story about them and building a divide between us? Am I using my words that I speak to myself to build myself up and equip myself to follow Jesus, love others, and make a difference? One anothering really, really matters. I think that's why it's in there so much. So the question for us in this season of life is, how do we one another in a time of social distancing? One of the middle schoolers here at Live Oak in our Live Oak student ministry, Zoe Descavage, said, I think they're using the wrong term. It's not social distancing. It's physical distancing. Right? Spread out. In the words of Mo Howard, spread out. 6 feet. Really brilliant insight from a middle school girl. Really proud of you, Zoe. Good job. Because that's what it is. It's physical distancing. It's not social distancing. We need to spread out, but we need to maintain connections, maybe even more than usual. So here's the two ways I want you to think about how you practice one anothering. Start with the people that you shelter in place with. Who are the people you are around? If some of you are alone as you shelter in place, for those of you who aren't, Start with the people you're seeing every day, and you're seeing them a lot. That is an everyday experiment, laboratory, and opportunity for you to practice one anothering and learn how to do that. It also might be that the people you shelter in place with and you see every day might be the ones you're least likely to apply this to. We might take them for granted. Or you might have tensions building up from being so close together. I encourage you to, for the people you're sheltering in place with, does it, what you say, what you do, does it express love? Does it build unity, togetherness as a family or with roommates or whoever you're with on a regular basis? Is it putting yourself in a place of humility where you're thinking of others more than yourself? And is it building others up? Think about it for the people that you're sheltering in place with. It may be difficult to do, but it's necessary. Second thing is you also want to think about those who aren't with you. Right now, what if the friends of the paralytic were given that order to stay at home, shelter in place, and their friend, the paralytic, is sitting on the side of the road and no one comes to get him? What about the people right now who are alone? What if God's trying to put somebody on your radar right now for you to try and connect with at a distance? You have to be intentional and you have to be creative, just like the friends of the paralytic. But when you are intentional and creative by faith to reach out and connect with others, I think that too moves the heart of God to do something significant in their life. Everybody needs to be connected to somebody. So when you think about those who you're not with, what are some creative ways you can reach out to them? Reach out. Be intentional. Get creative. Find a way to connect. And in an ironic twist, you know, for I think in this season of life, previously, screens, devices, phones, social media had created a lot of pseudo false connection or unhealthy connection. We were connected better to our screens than to each other. I think it was a barrier to connection for a lot of us. In an ironic twist, what if now our screens and our phones and our devices can actually be the intentional creative way that we connect with one another when we're not with one another? What if God's redeeming technology and social media, and I think it's had a lot of good, but I think at times it's been a lot of unhealthy for me and others. In an ironic twist, what if now that's the hole in the roof that allows you to connect with others and help connect them with God? Who needs to be on your radar that's not? Or maybe you're alone and you're kind of sheltering place and you've got a lot of distance between you and others. What does it look like for you to reach out? Be honest and authentic and say, I need some connection right now. Here's how I want to challenge all of you. One, start with just doing one anothering act a day. You don't have to put it on your calendar, but actually in times like this where there's a lot of lack of structure, it's very important to have a schedule, even if it's simple, and I would start simple and build from there. But put some blocks of time where you're doing things and you get into some routines. And what if part of your daily routine is, say, today, who could I one another? Who could I love, serve, reach out to, build up? Maybe just do a word search in the Bible of the one another's and start reading through them and say, God, which one stands out today? But pick one and do it. And then do another. And then do another. Just start with one. And then do another. Start trying to frame your moments. Picture that frame of love, unity, humility, and build, and say, right now is what I'm saying and what I'm doing, is what I'm sharing, liking, or commenting on in social media, does this express love? Does it promote unity? Does it come from a place of humility, of thinking of others and valuing them? And is it building others up? And if it doesn't, don't say it, don't share it, don't do it. Right now, there's a virus that's contagious. But love is contagious. Unity is contagious. Humility is contagious. serving others and having this one anothering mindset could be contagious. But start framing your moments until it becomes the new normal for you to live that way. The other challenge is, who's on your radar? Who needs to be? And one of the most important things you can ask every day is, how could I serve somebody today? When you're going through a time of challenge, it's always the temptation is always to turn inward. Turn yourself outward and say, how could I serve somebody else today? And then do it. And then I would challenge you to reach out virtually to one another. Send a text. Even better, make a phone call. Reach out. Ask how someone's doing. Because again, what Paul said in Galatians 5:13, this is a great verse. You, my brothers and sisters, all of you, were called to be free. That's what Jesus wants for you. He died on the cross to set you free. But with this freedom, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, to turn inward, to value yourself more than others, to just follow your heart instead of following Jesus, to serve yourself instead of serving others. Instead, rather, serve one another humbly in love. What if that was just your mantra, the thing you just repeated over and over and over again? I will serve one another humbly in love. I will serve others humbly in love. We will serve one another humbly in love. Because as we're asking the question, how am I going to get through this? You're asking the wrong question. How are we going to get through this? We will get through it by serving one another humbly in love. Because we is the key. Serve one another humbly in love. One another. It'll be contagious. It'll make a difference. And I just want to kind of put this out there that if you right now feel isolated or alone, reach out to me. Email me at dh@live-oak.org. No one needs to be alone. Everybody needs to be connected to somebody. And for some of you, you're going to be intentional and creative, and you're going to reach out by faith. And I believe just like for the friends of the paralytic, it will move the heart of God to do something in the life of your friend and probably do something in your life as well.